picking up page 28. There's a couple of the Red Church Bibles if anyone would like one. And then after I've read this, I'll hand over to Luke. Okay, so let's hear God's word. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, and also Basemath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for his elder son Esau, said to him, "My son." "Here I am," he answered. Isaac said, "I'm now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipped quiver and bow and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of tasty food I like and bring it to me to eat so that I may give you my blessing before I die." Now Rebekah was listening as Isaac spoke to his son Esau. When Esau left for the open country to hunt game, bring it back, Rebekah said to her son Jacob, "Look, I overheard your father say to your brother Esau, 'Bring me some game and prepare me some tasty food to eat, so that I may give you my blessing in the presence of the Lord before I die.' Now, my son, listen carefully and do what I tell you. Go out to the flock, bring me two choice young goats, so that I can prepare some tasty food for father, just the way he likes it. Then, take it to your father to eat, so that he may give you his blessing before he dies." Jacob said to Rebekah, his mother, "But my brother Esau is a hairy man, while I have smooth skin. What if my father touches me? I would appear to be tricking him and would bring down a curse on myself rather than a blessing." His mother said to him, "My son, let the curse fall on me. Just do what I say. Go and get them for me." So he went and got them and brought them to his mother. She prepared some tasty food, just the way his father liked it. Then Rebekah took the best clothes of her elder son Esau, she had in the house, put them on her youngest son Jacob. She also covered his hands and the smooth part of his neck with the goat skin. Then she handed to her son Jacob the tasty food and the bread she had made. He went to his father and said, "My father." "Yes, my son," he answered. "Who is it?" Jacob said to his father, "I am Esau, your firstborn. I have done as you told me. Please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing." Isaac asked his son, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God gave me success," he replied. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Come near so I can touch you, my son, to know whether you really are my son Esau or not." Jacob went close to his father Isaac and touched him and said, "The voice is the voice of Jacob, the hands are the hands of Esau." He did not recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. "Are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "I am," replied. Then he said, "My son, bring me some of your game to eat, so that I may give you my blessing." Jacob brought it to him, and he ate. And he brought some wine and drank. Then his father Isaac said to him, "Come here, my son, and kiss me." So he went to him and kissed him. When Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, "Ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew, earth's richness, an abundance of grain and wine." May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers, and may the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed, and those who bless you be blessed. After Isaac finished blessing him, Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence. His brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. Then he said to him, "My father, please sit up and eat some of my game, so that you may give me your blessing." His father asked him, "Who are you?" "I am your son," he answered, "your firstborn, Esau." Isaac trembled violently and said, "Who is it then that hunted game and brought it to you? I ate it just before you came, and I blessed him, and indeed he will be blessed." When Esau heard his father's words, he burst out with a loud, bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me, me too, my father." But he said, "Your brother came deceitfully, took your blessing." Esau said, "Isn't he rightly named Jacob? This is the second time he's taken advantage of. He took my birthright, and now he's taken my blessing." Then he said, "Haven't you reserved any blessing for me?" Isaac answered Esau, "I have made him lord over you, and have made all his relatives his servants, and I have sustained him grain and wine. So what can I possibly do for you, my son?" Esau said to his father, "Do you have only one blessing, my father? Bless me too, my father." And Esau wept aloud. His father Isaac answered him, "Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, and you will serve your brother. But when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck." Esau held a grudge against Jacob because of the blessing his father had given him. He said to himself, "The days of mourning for my father are near. Then I will kill my brother Jacob." When Rebekah was told what her elder son Esau had said, she sent for her younger son Jacob and said to him, "Your brother Esau is planning to avenge himself by killing you. Now then, my son, do what I say. Flee at once to my brother Laban, Haran. Stay with him for a while until your brother's fury subsides. When your brother is no longer angry with you, forgets what you did to him, I'll send word for you to come back from them. Why should I lose both of you one day?" Then Rebekah said to Isaac, "I'm disgusted with living because of these Hittite women. If Jacob takes a wife from among the women of this land, from Hittite women like these, my life will not be worth living." So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, to the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you and make you fruitful, increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham." Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram, to Laban, son of Bethuel the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, who was the mother of Jacob and Esau. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman," and that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and gone to Paddan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father, Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, sister of Nebaioth, the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives already
Shall we pray while we come to God's word? Pray. Father, we thank you so much. Firstly, that we can open your word anytime and read what you have to say. But we thank you, Lord, that whenever we do that, that you speak through the Bible. And so, Lord, we pray that as we gather this afternoon, would speak to us clearly, that we would come to your word humbly, ready to hear. And Lord, we ask that you would transform us by your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. So the year was 2001. Hundreds and thousands of people around the country had tuned in to listen to the iconic music. And to listen to Chris Tarrant's iconic words. Hello and welcome back to Who Wants to Be a Millionaire? This quiet, unassuming underdog had answered correct answer after correct answer and had made it to the final question, where he was one correct answer away from £1 million. Chris Tarrant says the words, "Is that your final answer?" Tension. That is the right answer. You've won £1 million. The confetti comes down. The music goes up. The audience raises the roof. Celebration, because he's won £1 million. He's done it. This man's name was Charles Ingram. Now, in the days and weeks and months that followed, suspicion grows. The production team looks at the footage again and again, listens to the audio again and again. They listen to Charles Ingram cycle through his options for each question. Oh, it could be A. It could be B. Perhaps it's C from the audience. Oh, it could be D. No, I think it's C. And he does it again. Another question. Oh, it could be A. Maybe it's B from the audience. Could be C, could be D. I think it's B. What? No, he was found out. Deception. He had tricked everyone. He had lied and schemed, and he'd almost got away with it. £1 million, can you imagine? Now, we live in a world where people lie and where people scheme and where people deceive, where people will do anything, including lie and deceive to the highest level for the biggest prize. People will lie and scheme and deceive when the stakes are high. And so in our passage tonight, when we're looking through our series in the life of Jacob, what's at stake in this passage is nothing less than the blessing of God. The promise of the blessing of God. So remember Abraham. God had appeared to Abraham, who's just this random guy. And he said to Abraham, look, just because I love you and just because I want to, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless you abundantly. I'm going to give you descendants. I'm going to give you abundance. I'm going to bless you. You will know the love and the favor and the goodness of God. And not only that, but through you and through your multitude of descendants, the whole world, nations will know the love and the goodness and the favor of God. What a promise. An incredible promise. This is what's at stake. So Abraham passes this blessing on to Isaac, his son, and Isaac has two sons, Esau and Jacob. Who's going to get the blessing, this promise of God's blessing? It gets ugly. It gets really ugly. It's like an episode of Coronation Street or EastEnders or The Traitors, if you saw that on TV. Great series. Ugly, ugly series. Really ugly. Because they lie to each other, deceive each other, and they scheme. But we're going to see that in spite of their lying and their scheming and their deceiving, God still graciously blesses his people. And so what we're going to do is just go through the story scene by scene, watching the drama unfold, eating our popcorn, enjoying the story, but then spending some time thinking about, why is this here? What does this mean for us today? So hopefully you've still got your Bibles open. So look down at chapter 26, verse 34, where the story begins. Scene 1. The story begins with Esau, and basically a reminder for us of what kind of person Esau is. And I would sum him up as this: Esau does not care. Esau does not care about the promises of God or the blessings of God. Look at verse 34 again of chapter 26. When Esau was 40 years old, he married Judith, daughter of Beeri the Hittite, also Basmath, daughter of Elon the Hittite. They were a source of grief to Isaac and Rebekah, parents. So when Isaac was 40, if you remember, Abraham sent to get a wife for him from his relatives, from his close family. That's what mattered to Abraham. Esau, he's marrying Hittites. He's marrying foreign women, and not just one, but two. And to top it off, what's the main thing about this? They were a source of grief, verse 35, to Isaac and Rebekah. Esau does not care. And we remember that a couple of chapters ago, Esau came in from hunting and he's starving, he's really hungry. Jacob says, okay, sell me your birthright and you can have this food. And Esau says, yeah, sure, whatever, just give me the food. I don't care, I'm hungry. Does not care about the promises of God, the blessings of God. He does not care about the things that Abraham cares about. He doesn't care about the things that Isaac cares about. Esau does not care. That's what kind of man Esau is. And then we see what Isaac plans to do. Verses 1 to 4. Let's read. When Isaac was old and his eyes were so weak that he could no longer see, he called for his elder son Esau and said to him, my son, here I am. Isaac said, I'm now an old man and don't know the day of my death. Now then, get your equipment, your quiver and bow, and go out to the open country to hunt some wild game for me. Prepare me the kind of taste I like. Bring it to me so that I may give you a blessing before I die. There's something very dodgy going on here. And it's something that actually only really stands out to us when we look at subsequent blessings of the patriarchs as they die later on in Genesis. The deathbed blessings, if you like. Because what they do is they gather their whole family around them and they say, okay, I'm going to bless you in this way. Bless you. I'm going to bless you. Okay, everyone's got their blessings. Okay, happy, happy, happy. Now I can die. But that's not what's happening here. It should be the whole family, but here it's Esau, Isaac's favorite son, with Isaac on his deathbed. This secret little meeting, the secret little feast where Isaac eats his favorite food and blesses Esau, and Esau alone. And that's despite the prophecy, remember, when Jacob and Esau are born, and God said to them that the older will serve the younger. The older, Esau, will serve the younger, Jacob. That was what God said. But that's not what's going to happen if Isaac has his way. So it's very dodgy. Scene 1, the stage set. So scene 2, verses 27, from 5 to 17. Rebekah, Jacob and Esau's mum, listening at the door, and she's outraged. Her favorite son, Jacob, is going to be passed over. Not going to get anything. She's outraged, and she hatches a plan. Says, to Jacob, while Esau's gone, I will make tasty food that Esau, that Isaac likes. Blind, he's old, he won't see you, he'll think you're Esau, you'll get the blessing, hooray. Jacob says, there's a problem with this plan. What if Isaac, old, blind, what if he touches me? I've got smooth skin. Esau's hairy, really hairy. What if he touches me? It'll be all over. But Rebecca's plan, wear Esau's clothes. Have these hairy goat skins, put them on your arms, put them around your face, on the back of your neck, and then if he does smell you and if he touches you, then he will know that you are Esau. It's risky, isn't it? So risky. Would you do it? It's so tense. Scene 3, the deception. Let's read verses 18 to 25. He went to his father and said, Father, yes, my son, he answered. Who is it? Jacob said to his father, I am Esau, your firstborn. I've done as you told me. Please sit up and eat of my game so that you may give me your blessing. Isaac asked his son, how did you find it so quickly, my son? The Lord your God gave me success. Then Isaac said to Jacob, come near so I can touch you, my son. I know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Jacob went close to his father Isaac, touched him, said, voice is the voice of Jacob, the hands of Esau. Didn't recognize him, for his hands were hairy like those of his brother Esau. So he proceeded to bless him. Are you really my son Esau? He asked. I am, he replied. Then he said, my son, bring me some of your game to eat so that I may give you my blessing. Oh, it's so tense. It's one of the most dramatic edge-of-your-seat narratives in the whole Bible. Did you notice that Isaac checks 3 times whether it's really Esau and not Jacob tricking him? 3 times. Verse 21, come near so I can touch you, know whether you really are my son Esau or not. Verse 22, are you really? His voice is the voice of Jacob. His hands are the hands of Esau. He's suspicious. And then verse 24, third time, are you really my son Esau? He's very suspicious, but smells the food, the tasty food, and it sways him. Finally, Isaac blesses him. This is the moment of truth. It's worth reading in full. From verse 27, this is the blessing. So he went to him, and he kissed him, and when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he blessed him and said, ah, the smell of my son is like the smell of a field that the Lord has blessed. May God give you heaven's dew and earth's richness and abundance of grain and new wine. May nations serve you and peoples bow down to you. Be Lord over your brothers. May the sons of your mother bow down to you. May those who curse you be cursed and those who bless you blessed. It's done. What a blessing. That is the blessing that Abraham passed on to Isaac. Isaac has now passed it on to Jacob alone. It's done. The deception is complete. Jacob's out of there. And only just fast enough. Scene 4, Esau's grief. What follows is just tragic and so emotional. Esau's grief. So verse 30, after Isaac finished blessing him, and Jacob had scarcely left his father's presence. He's only just left the room. His brother Esau came in from hunting. He too prepared some tasty food and brought it to his father. And he said to him, my father, please sit up and eat some of my game so that you may give me your blessing. His father Isaac asked him, who are you? I'm your son, he answered. Your firstborn, Esau. Isaac trembled violently and said, who was it then that hunted game and brought it to me? I ate it just before you came and I blessed him. And indeed, he will be blessed. says Isaac trembled violently when he realizes what's happened. And we don't know why he trembled violently. Was he afraid? Was it fear of what was about to happen? Maybe. Was it rage that he'd been tricked? Maybe. Was he ashamed? Maybe. But when Esau heard his father's word, verse 34, listen to these words. He burst out with a loud and bitter cry and said to his father, "Bless me too, my father." He is gutted. Esau wept aloud, it says. The reason being that Esau realizes now and only now what he's thrown away. He hasn't cared up till now, but now he realizes that he had one last shot at getting this blessing. He didn't want it before, but now it's gone. It's Jacob's. It is entirely Jacob's. It starts to sink in and he weeps. He lets out a cry, a loud and bitter cry. Esau only starts caring about the blessings of God, promises of God, when it's too late. I reckon in this part of the story, if it was a film, you would see Esau kneeling before his father, shoulders shaking with sobs, father's voice breaking, and the sound of the string getting louder and louder, sad, haunting music as Esau is rejected. This is his blessing from his father, Isaac. Your dwelling will be away from the earth's riches, away from the dew of heaven above. You will live by the sword, you will serve your brother, but when you grow restless, you will throw his yoke from off your neck. There is no blessing for Esau. But in scene 5, Esau's grief turns to rage. And he resolves to kill Jacob after his father has died. And so Rebekah hatches another plan, this time to save her favorite son's life. To send him away to live with relatives for what she hoped would just be a while, but as we know, turns into decades. And so Isaac sends him away. Let's read verses 1 to 5, chapter 28. So Isaac called for Jacob and blessed him. Then he commanded him, "Do not marry a Canaanite woman. Go at once to Paddan Aram, the house of your mother's father, Bethuel. Take a wife for yourself there from among the daughters of Laban, your mother's brother. May God Almighty bless you." Blessing again. May God Almighty bless you. Make faith fruitful and increase your numbers until you become a community of peoples. May he give you and your descendants the blessing given to Abraham, so that you may take possession of the land where you now reside as a foreigner, the land God gave to Abraham. Then Isaac sent Jacob on his way, and he went to Paddan Aram to Laban, son of Bethuel, the Aramean, the brother of Rebekah, the mother of Jacob and Esau. So Rebekah is able to make sure that Jacob is sent away by appealing to Isaac's dislike of Esau's wives. Because remember, the story started talking about how Esau's wives made Isaac, Rebekah's life, bitter. And so this is the excuse that Rebekah needs, to send Jacob away to stay with relatives, to go to be safe, so that he can find a wife who doesn't round his parents round the bend. Now, the story ends with Esau hearing what's happened Let's read verses 6 to 9. Now Esau learned that Isaac had blessed Jacob and had sent him to Paddan Aram to take a wife from there, and that when he blessed him, he commanded him, do not marry a Canaanite woman. And that Jacob had obeyed his father and mother and had gone to Paddan Aram. Esau then realized how displeasing the Canaanite women were to his father Isaac. So he went to Ishmael and married Mahalath, sister of Nebaioth, and the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham, in addition to the wives he already had. Now, maybe you're like me. Until fairly recently, when I read the end of that story, I read it like this. So Esau sees that Jacob has been sent away to get a wife from within his family, and he realizes that his current wives make his parents' lives bitter. So he goes away and he gets more wives who make his parents' lives even more bitter. You know, it's like he sticks a knife in and he turns it. It's spiteful and vengeful. He's like, well, you don't like my wives? Tough, I'm going to get some more. But actually, if you read it closely, that's not really what's happening, is it? He goes to Ishmael, verse 9, and married Mahalath, the sister of Nebaioth, the daughter of Ishmael, son of Abraham. So actually, the opposite is happening. He's going to see members of his family to get another wife, someone from within his family. He sees how much his current wives displease his parents. So it's almost like he's trying to fix it, which is interesting, isn't it? But the sad thing is, it is too little too late. Esau, again, he didn't care about the promises of God until it's too late. It's too little. It's too late. The blessing has gone to Jacob. Jacob, who, though through very dubious and underhand means, he sought the blessing of God. He saw it for the priceless treasure that it was, and he went for it. Whereas Esau didn't care. And so then you hear the EastEnders music, dum 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 dum, and the credits roll. The episode's over, the drama is ended. The credits roll. It's a gripping story, isn't it? Now, if I was to ask you, your opinion, Jacob, on the one hand, Esau, who deserves the blessing? It's got to be neither of them, surely? Neither of them. They're both rubbish. One of them doesn't care about the promises and the blessings of God. Jacob's a cheat from the day he was born, a liar and a deceiver, and this entire family is rotten, isn't it? Surely neither of them deserve the blessing of God. But this story, in fact, this is the story of the whole Bible, God's entire plan of salvation, is that in spite of the lying and the scheming and the plotting and the backbiting, sin, and the rottenness in this family, God still graciously blesses his people. God remains true and remains faithful to his plan to bless Abraham, to bless Isaac, to bless Jacob, this family, so that he might bless all families and all people in the earth. God remains true to his promises to bless the whole world. So this story that reads like a soap on TV is all about God's grace. And so the blessing passes from Abraham to Isaac to Jacob, not because they deserve it, but because of God's love and because of his grace. God's plan, God's merciful, gracious plan to bless the whole world through this family comes to fruition ultimately through Jesus, the descendant of Abraham, descendant of Isaac and Jacob. Because through Jesus, and through Jesus alone, anyone in the world who has lived with their back turned to God can look to Jesus and can do a U-turn and can say, look, I have been living and I've been living away from God, and I have not been worshiping him. I have not been loving this gracious, merciful God. And I'm going to turn around and I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm going to worship him and him alone. Now, none of us deserve God's grace or God's mercy. But this is what's on offer. Because God still graciously blesses his people despite our wickedness and our lying and our deceiving. It's not because we deserve it, but because of God's mercy, Jesus. The reality is that we are just like Isaac, just like Rebecca, just like Esau, just like Jacob. And Jesus came for people like them, for people like us, so that we might reconcile to God. Jesus came through these people, through people like this, for people like this, for people like us, liars and sinners. And the last thing that I want us to think about as we close is that Esau serves as a warning for us. If you've got your Bibles with you, why not find Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16, which is at the opposite end, pretty much, of the Bible. Hebrews 12 and verse 16. That's on page 1211. You've picked up one of these red Bibles. This is the lesson to be gleaned from Esau's life. See that no one is sexually immoral or is godless like Esau, who for a single meal sold his inheritance rights as the oldest son. Afterwards, as you know, when he wanted to inherit this blessing, he was rejected. Even though he sought the blessing with tears, he could not change what he had done. It's so sad, so tragic, but if you were to sum up Esau's role in the great Bible story, it would be, don't be like Esau. Where the promises and the blessings of God are available to you, but you don't care until it's too late. Esau serves as a warning for us. It's so tempted, like Esau, to seek after the things in this world that are temporary, that that slake our appetites, the things that we want from this temporary world. But God offers us greater things that last for eternity. God offers us blessing. God offers us his favor and his love to know goodness through Jesus. And I don't know where you're at this morning, this afternoon. Thank you. I don't know where you're at. But don't be like Esau, where you look back and you are filled with regret that God's promises of blessings were available to you, but you didn't care. Because this story is a wonderful reminder that God wants to graciously bless his people. Wants to bless people. Let's take a moment to pray. Think about what we've heard, what God has spoken to us in his word. Take a moment. Father, when we read this drama played out in Scripture, it's gripping, but it's also tragic. When we consider just how rotten and how sinful this family was, and how rotten and sinful and deceptive we are. And yet, Lord, we remember that you want to bless. That despite the sin and the deception in this story, that you still remain faithful to your promise to bless Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, to bless them abundantly, and through them, to bless the whole world. And those of us who are followers of Jesus, we just thank you for that. That through these wretched people, Lord, that you would seek to bless wretched people like us. So we thank you for grace. We thank you for your grace. In Jesus' name. Amen.